Welcome back to another edition of the News Gazette Prep Sports Podcast. I'm sports editor Matt Daniels, joined by Preps coordinator Anthony Zillis. We're inside Monticello High School on a Thursday afternoon. Pleased to be joined by Coley Welter, head football coach here at Monticello, along with two of his standouts, and Nathan Harmon and Noah Zimmerman. Guys, welcome. The Sages are 2-0 this season. They're actually at home this Friday night for the first time. I'm sure it feels like forever since they've played on their home field. But, Coley, just kind of give us an update so far on the season. Had some big wins early against Olympia and IVC these last 2 weeks. What are you seeing from your team so far?
I was really happy with the way we bounced back after a rough start Friday night. First game, we got off to a really good start, and the game was pretty much in hand by halftime. But we were down 7-0 early to IVC, then turned the ball over. We had our backs a little bit against the wall, and then we responded. So I was really proud of the kids with the way they played.
Coley, obviously you guys have had a lot of success the last couple of years, but it seems like with just a lot of different key players, you know, a lot of seniors graduating every year, and you guys just seem to reload every season. What is the personality of this team like, and have you seen is it different from the last couple seasons?
Yeah, this is a much bigger senior class than what we've had in previous probably 3 years. It's a deeper senior class. I feel like this class has always been close, and I think they gel well with the class below them, the junior class, in terms of their personnel and their personality. So it is a little bit different dynamic than what we've had in the past. I think we're more balanced this year than maybe what we've been in the past. At least I'm hoping to see that throughout the rest of the year.
Nathan, just what's it like to play football here at Monticello at all?
There's obviously a big expectation with Coach Welter and his staff being so stacked with playing in college and having a high expectation level, but I love that. I love having expectations for me because it makes me push myself harder and harder each and every day.
What's it like having that, you know, having these coaches like Matt Sinclair now, Brent Miller, obviously, on staff, obviously play both the positions that you play in, linebacker and some fullback. What's it like being coached by those guys, and what have you learned? How has that developed you?
It gives me a new perspective of the entire football game on both sides of the ball. Defensively speaking, because that's mainly what I do right now. I've had two different types of defense of the past 2 years. More of a pass defense with Coach Sinclair, and now more of a aggressive run defense with Coach Miller. But I say it gives me another tool on my belt. It makes me see the game more through my eyes and slow everything down and make sure I do my job better each and every day. It also helps me help my teammates better. Gotcha. I can tell the line what they need to do because I'm going to focus more this year.
Gotcha. Noah, what was it like last year? You guys went on a historic run for this program, went 9-0 in the regular season, ended up in the state semifinals. What was that run like, and how did you guys use that maybe as motivation this offseason to prepping for this year at all?
I thought it was pretty crazy. I know we had a long stretch there where we couldn't quite get past the second round. I know the year before we went to the quarters, but to go to the semis, I know I can think back to the playoff practices. We have Coach Woodham. He's one of our line coaches on staff. He'd always talk about how he was on one of the semi teams that had come out of Monticello before, and he talked about how great of an experience it was. And we were so fortunate to get to the semis, and I just remember it being it's just very fond in my mind and just kind of.
Did you set the bar last year, I guess, for what the basketball team was going to accomplish then and some of the other sports here at Monticello last school year?
Well, we don't really have that. We had some players that played football and basketball, but it was kind of funny because Calvin Fisher, I know, it was kind of before both seasons, obviously football comes first, but we kind of talked about what the expectations were, and I didn't think that they were going to do as well as they did, but obviously
I don't think anyone really did.
They were awesome, and so I was glad to see that they kind of reached what we got to achieve as well.
Was there a point when that sort of kind of became a reality, and you know, you kind of realized that this was something that you could make a deep run like that? Was, you know, obviously you guys beat Unity, you know, relatively early in the season, things like that. Was there a point where, you know, you got to the point where you realized that this was kind of the new standard for this team? Or
I even back to my sophomore year, that quarterfinal loss against Unity, and the way that the fashion that happened, I knew that we had guys that were coming back that year, last year of course, and while we did have to replace some of our key cogs on offense, we kind of felt that we had a great shot to go as far as we did, and obviously we were able to achieve that, and yeah.
Coley, I know I talked to you earlier this week and asked you the same question I'm going to ask you now, but Braden Snyder, your new quarterback this year, replaced Caleb Hansen, who was our all-area player of the year last year, who replaced Brandon Wildman. Some prolific throws here. Is there something in the water here in Monticello where they just can throw the ball accurately and for many yards?
Yeah, if so, I hope it continues to help whatever they do and they continue to do it. Yeah, no, I think we are very blessed to have, as I told you, very blessed to have some very talented kids at that position the last few years. And I just like the way they've gone about taking the ownership of the role. Braden, now it's his turn, and he learned a lot specifically from Caleb, and I feel like he's going to have a real solid season.
Nathan, what's it been like just being a, you know, a starter these last couple years, just with this amount of success? And I guess have you seen it kind of coming from year to year? Have you seen kind of the pipeline, you know, kind of leading up to this year?
Yeah, at the beginning of each year, we set the standard and the expectation. It always rises year by year. It's going to get bigger and taller each and every year, and that's basically what our motto is this year, is we expect a lot more than say, last year we had a bad taste in our mouth from getting beat in our home field. Mm-hmm. Well, the expectation level just got risen, and it just rose higher and higher and higher. But that's what it's going to be doing this each and every week this year.
Noah, we're talking to you on a Thursday afternoon. What's a game day like on a Friday, you know, at school? Got the home opener tomorrow on Friday night. Do you, you know, tap your feet in class? Or are you just anxiously waiting, watching the clock all day? What's it like?
It's awesome because, you know, as soon as you wake up, you're thinking, well, I got to put on my jersey. I get to put on my jersey and go to school. And you go through school and you're kind of, you know, you're eager to obviously get out there and play, and especially it being home. You know, you're sitting at lunch. You know, you'll be out there. Mm-hmm. There's really nothing like it when it comes to just from when I was a kid thinking about it to now, living it. It's, you know, you get out of fourth hour with every bell ring. it's just like we're that much closer, and then school gets out, and you go. You know, you do what you need to do before the game. You get here about 5, and from then on, you're all about football until you know, you leave in your car after the game.
Nathan, what's that feeling like when you're running out onto this field on a Friday night?
It's definitely an adrenaline rush. I'm gonna say there's no other feeling like it in life, because you're with your friends, you're with your brothers, you're with your teammates, and everyone's just eyeing on you, and it's just a feeling in your stomach. You say butterflies, everything goes crazy. But you know at that point you have to zero in, you have to do your job ultimately.
What's the celebration like after a big win in Monticello? Where do all the kids go after that?
Where's the hangout spot?
Well, for home games, I know last year it was kind of different from my sophomore year, but I actually went to Filippo's, an Italian restaurant, after the games, a lot of the time after the game. But it's really there's nothing, at least from my experience, nothing extremely like, oh, there's not, you know, there's obviously not a huge party or anything. I think we all kind of go our separate ways. I know we have a Saturday flag football league that we all work at, or most of us work at, and so we got to be back here at 8 in the morning for that. So there's not much, you know. It's just kind of go your own way. And
Coley, you mentioned this earlier, just with this big senior class, and just what's it like with them, and just the expectation that this program has established, and I'm sure people in the community, you know, have their eyes on them and know what they want to accomplish at all. How do you just keep them grounded? I'm sure that's a challenge every season, but especially with this season, with the high expectations you guys coming off last year.
Yeah, I think that's always a challenge for a coach, regardless of how veteran you are or how inexperienced you are. It's very easy to get ahead of yourself a little bit, especially early in the year. But I've always felt like this is a group. You look ahead as a coach when they were younger, that was pretty grounded. They get along really well. It's a nice group. It's a good blend of linemen, skill guys, but mostly they seem to really desire success. They set expectations for themselves. So from a coaching standpoint, it's pretty easy. From the motivational standpoint, they kind of take care of it themselves.
Gotcha. And Cole, I know when we had talked, we've talked about you know, Nathan in the past, and about how obviously you're your track coach, and he's both a state qualifying thrower and on your 4x100 team. How rare is that, and what does that kind of bring to the, what does that show about kind of you know, what does that bring to the linebacker position, I guess?
Well, yeah, I mean, what do you need as a linebacker? Strength and speed. Speed's the name of the game at any position, right? Mm-hmm. But then when you add to it his ability to clean close to 350 pounds, a squat, you know, 450 pounds.
That's what we do, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And to his credit, those are big improvements over previous years. He's worked really hard. So, but yeah, you don't see that kind of dynamic, that kind of speed, strength, quality in a lot of kids. And certainly we enjoy that he's on our team.
Coley, we've talked a lot about Braden Snyder and Nathan Harmon here and Noah Zimmerman, but who are some other guys on this year's team that have taken on significant roles and you're kind of expecting big things from them the rest of the way?
Well, along with Noah, we have a three-year returning starter on the same sideline named Benton Friesman, who is an interesting story because he was diagnosed with diabetes last year during the wrestling season. So he's had a personal struggle to overcome that. And he and Noah have kind of been our core as far as the linemen are concerned and who we really lean on as far as that group is concerned. Lucas Leeb's a returning running back, almost 1,000 yards last year. You know, defensively, we've got Bryson Smith, who's a kid who tore his ACL in the second week of the playoffs last year and just worked really hard to get back. Caleb Hellenthal is a kid you probably don't even register on the radar, but just a, you know, just a lunch pail type kid who just works his butt off. So we have that nice mix of current sort of glamour kids and lunch pail kids, which is nice.
Gotcha. What's the new conference been like so far? What's it like having a, you know, full conference, you know, full schedule, you know, conference?
Initially I was a little concerned with the travel and sort of the stability of the conference, but I'm really kind of enjoying the new experiences. It's the first time in my life I've been to Chillicothe, so that was nice. And it's nice to know that you don't have to worry about your schedule from year to year. It's you know, you have 9-game schedule, and you can kind of watch as the year progresses to see how teams you get kind of a way to see. Compare as the season goes along, which is nice.
Gotcha. All right, guys, we know you've got practice to get to this afternoon before your big home opener this Friday night against St. Thomas More at 7 o'clock here in Monticello. We'll let you guys go, but again, want to thank Coley Welter, the Monticello football coach, along with two sages here, Nathan Harmon and Noah Zimmerman. Come check them out this Friday night when Monticello hosts St. Thomas More in an Illini Prairie Conference football game. We'll be right back on the News Gazette Prep Sports Podcast.
Hey, Jim Rosso, News Gazette Media, reminding you that every day at newsgazette.com, there's a bevy of podcasts for your listening pleasure, from Jim Turpin's Penny for Your Thoughts, to Scott Beatty's Sports Talk, to interviews with the movers and shakers in town on The Morning Show. Check it out, newsgazette.com. Search for podcasts.
And we're back on the News Gazette Prep Sports Podcast. I'm sports editor Matt Daniels. Man, I can't talk apparently on this Thursday afternoon. Joined by Anthony Zillis. Want to again thank Coley Welter, Monticello football coach, along with two of his standout football players this season for the Sages on a roster that's chock full of them. But Nathan Harmon and Noah Zimmerman stopped by and gave some good insights into the program. And we focused a lot on Monticello so far in the first part of this podcast, Anthony, but lots of other high school football to talk about. And last Friday night in week two, you were out at Tommy Stewart Field for the second straight Friday night. This time, though, seeing Centennial Urbana, and the Chargers pulled through with a 20-6 win against the Tigers.
Yeah, you saw kind of a defensive type of battle. Neither team could really break through early. You know, Centennial kept kind of getting the ball deep in Urbana's territory early on, but just had a couple interceptions. I think Urbana had 4 interceptions. Just couldn't convert. Couldn't convert those, but I think you're kind of, you know, seeing for Urbana, you're seeing kind of the early stages of a new program with Ordell Walker there. He's a, you know, long time, you know, college coach, NAIA Division III coach, and kind of you'll see that program sort of develop. Centennial, you know, has a bunch of veterans on their team, and you know, did what they needed to do to win. I think they know that they'll need to play a little better at the against Normal West this week.
a lot better.
who puts up, what, 70 points a game or so. So
yeah, the Chargers are back in their home field this week, and I believe they're at home. I'll double-check that. We have the schedule in the News Gazette. But anyway, they play Normal West in week three, and Normal West is 2-0 on the year, knocked off Peoria in week one, the defending 5A state champs, and then beat O'Fallon, a very quality program, usually a 7A, 8A school, last week. So Lakeevy Johnson and his Chargers have quite the challenge this Friday night. Urbana has a challenge as well, although they're facing Peoria, and both teams come in with an 0-2 record in Big 12 play, although Peoria's 0-2 mark is very it's eyebrow-raising, just based mm-hmm. on the fact they've got right. a lot of talent on that team, led by Caron Taylor, Illinois commit at quarterback, and defending state champs. They lost to Normal West in week one and then lost another thriller. It's almost basketball-like mm-hmm. scores. They lost yes. to Peoria Richwoods last Friday, 70-69
ridiculous.
In yeah. overtime. So, and then our other area Big 12 team, two other area Big 12 teams, Champaign Central is trying to get off the schneid and win their first game. They play Bloomington this Friday night. And then Danville, 2-0, the Vikings soundly beat the Maroon Champaign Central last Friday night in their home opener 35-7. They make the long drive to Peoria and play Peoria Manual, and all things considered, Danville should come away with that one with a 3-0 record. Manual's really struggled so far this year. So that's what's going on in the Big 12. Heard a lot about Monticello early in the Illini Prairie Conference. A big game that in that conference this week, though, is in St. Joseph. Bloomington Central Catholic comes to town and faces the Spartans. Both teams are at 2-0 this season, and they face each other last in the 2015 state quarterfinals in Class 3A that SJO narrowly won that game. But a lot of different faces now on both teams, but should still be quite the test for the Spartans and Sean Skinner. And I know, Anthony, we talked to them in week one before they opened the season against St. Thomas More on this Preps podcast. But 2-0 so far. Had a close win, though, last Friday night up right. in Rantoul.
Right. Yeah, I think, you know, you're seeing another program that's sort of kind of developing in Sean Skinner's second year. Kind of, you know, have rebuilt a little bit over the last few years, but you're seeing, you know, kind of seeing them come together, I think, mm-hmm. seeing kind of big performances from Dwight Colvin, particularly in week one. I think this one will just, we'll kind of see where they are right mm-hmm. now as they kind of get back up to their, I don't think, you know, any of us really doubt that St. Joseph Ogden will be back up to that, you know, mm-hmm. state championship type of pedigree. So we'll kind of see if we see where they're at in that progress at this point.
Yeah, can't mention the Illini Prairie Conference and not mention what Unity's doing. The Rockets are now the new number one team in Class 3A in the latest Associated Press poll that came out on Wednesday afternoon. The Rockets, I wouldn't say struggled a little bit, but it was a close game in the first half last Friday night down at Hicks Field in Tolono against Pontiac, another quality program, another new team that mm-hmm. Unity is having to face this season. And but the Rockets steadily pulled away and ended up winning comfortably 38-14. They rushed for an absurd amount of yards that game. Steven Miggett, Keaton Eckstein just had phenomenal games running the ball. And as we've talked before, the Rockets are just loaded on offense, and should be a great game. You know, looking ahead on the schedule, week six, Unity Monticello, the top two teams in Class 3A in the state will meet in week six, and that should be a heck of a battle. But Unity has to go on the road this week for the first time after two home games. They go up to Fairbury and play Prairie Central, a team that's 1-1. But I think if you're a Unity fan, you should feel pretty confident with what they're doing so far.
Yeah, I think until week six, you'll feel pretty confident. It'd be a pretty big upset if they lost before then. Mm-hmm. But those last you know, several games of the season, I'll be really interested to see how that sort of plays out as they play the, you know, Bloomington Central Catholics and mm-hmm. Even St. Joseph Ogden.
Yeah, exactly.
See.
Speaking of the AP rankings, Danville checks in at number 8 in the 6A poll. In 3A, we've got Unity Monticello in the 1-2 spots, although Monticello is tied for second with IC Catholic, the defending state champ. But mm-hmm. I know, Anthony, you and I talked about on the drive over here. IC Catholic lost last Friday to St. Right. Lawrence, a private school up in Chicago, which is about a 6A or 7A school. And IC Catholic, as the folks here in Piatt County know pretty well,
yeah.
They're a pretty good football team.
Yeah, it's kind of too bad that they're in Class 3A, I think, because they're probably more what you would see out of a 6A or mm-hmm. 7A type of program. So kind of a little bit unfortunate that they're in that class, but it'll be interesting. You know, when we get to the playoffs, you know, hey, Unity's got some talent.
Yeah,
they've got Division I mm-hmm. Division I quarterback. So hey, yeah. we'll see how they stack up if they get to that point.
Yeah, and in 2A, Gibson City Melvin Sibley checks in at number 6 in the poll. Westville at number 7. GCMS had another comfortable win last Friday night at home. They knocked off Fisher 42-6. Were up big in that one early. And they go on the road this week to El Paso Gridley for their first road game this year. And then Westville went up to Paxton last Friday night in a non-conference game and kind of had a rally to come out with a 22-16 win. So we'll see what the Tigers can do from there. But Westville goes on the road this week to play Salt Fork in Sidell, the last home game for Salt Fork at their field, Bob Yeasel Field, behind the old Jamaica High School, which is now Salt Fork Junior High. So I'm sure an emotional night for Salt Fork there. And then down in 1A, Tuscola, number two in the latest AP poll as well. They routed Villa Grove Heritage last Friday in their home opener 55-8. Talked to Andy Romine earlier this week. He really likes the progress that they're making, especially on their offensive line, and that's led by Hunter Woodard, an Oklahoma State commit. They're at home again this Friday night to face Clinton to start Central Illinois Conference play. We're going to wrap up talking football here real quick, and then we're going to shift to some other sports here and finish up the News Gazette Prep Sports podcast right after this.
Hey, Jim Rosso, News Gazette Media, reminding you that every day at newsgazette.com, there's a bevy of podcasts for your listening pleasure, from Jim Turpin's Penny for Your Thoughts to Scott Beatty's Sports Talk to interviews with the movers and shakers in town on The Morning Show. Check it out, newsgazette.com. Search for podcasts.
And we're back on the News Gazette Prep Sports podcast. Talked a lot of football so far, but there's lots of other sports in our area that are worthy of discussion. And Anthony, I know you were out at volleyball on Tuesday night, saw St. Thomas More sweep Paxton Buckley Lota in a relatively close match, I'd say, for a while there. But SCM's got a lot of talent this year.
Yeah, I think it was a match where kind of St. Thomas More was always sort of in control of it. You could see that they were gonna probably win that one. But yeah, it's St. Thomas More. You know, we talked about IC Catholic, private school. St. Thomas More volleyball kind of is stockpiled the volleyball, a lot of volleyball talent at this point. You got Mike Allison, obviously, there, who just got back from the U18 national team. So she's getting used to the, she's going from, I'm not saying trying to say anything bad about 1A volleyball, but she's going from playing international volleyball against players who are already professionals to playing high school volleyball. So she's getting back used to the pace and the setting and things like that. But she's not far from the only extremely talented player. Allie Tram, sophomore, has gotten offers from five different schools, including Alabama, which would be kind of fun if she went to Alabama and you had Mike Allison playing for Auburn.
Roll Tide, War Eagle.
Yeah, that'd be a fun one. But she's taking a visit to Illinois. I don't think no offer yet from Illinois, but just kind of shows the pedigree of a program. She said she's going on 20. Visits or something like that. So maybe a visit every Sunday or something like that. But yeah, it's a lot. You got two state qualifying high jumpers in Nakia Hughes and Lucy Lux Rulon. Nakia Hughes, obviously a basketball star for St. Thomas More. I think their coach Stan Bergman said that her email was fried on September 1st when basketball coaches could contact her. So just incredible athleticism that you don't see from most schools in our area. Yeah. So interesting to see them and Champaign Central.
Exactly.
Very talented teams in our area.
Yeah, it's been a good week so far on the area volleyball scene. Oakwood went in Wednesday night to St. Joseph Ogden and I wouldn't say pulled off a stunner. Both teams were 4-0 going to that match, but Oakwood rallied for a three-set win against the Spartans, reigning state runner-ups in Class 2A. So Oakwood now at 5-0 on the year. St. Joe falls to 4-1, and Brennan Durst is just leading the way for Oakwood, prolific at the net and a huge part of their offense. And it also helps out, too, for the Comets to have Caitlin Young, name that some area basketball fans should be familiar with. If they're not, they should become acquainted with her. She's a Division I talent on the basketball court, but she gives them a very big presence at the net and is coming up pretty huge for the Comets so far. So kudos to to Lynn Anderson and Oakwood for their strong start to the season. St. Joe knocked off Champaign Central on Tuesday night in two sets, and the Maroons have a lot of talent. Anthony, yeah. you've written about it. You wrote about it in Wednesday's News Gazette. Riley Hinton, an Illinois commit, class of 2019 prospect, and a bunch of other young talent on that team. But Mohammed Seymour gives them trouble.
Right.
They've played Mohammed Seymour twice already, and the Bulldogs have knocked them off twice. And then St. Joe managed to sweep them in two very close games on Tuesday night. But Central still is a team I don't think you can discount as the season moves forward.
Sometimes, you know, those talented teams who also have a lot of young pieces, I guess, take a little while. The coach, Manny Rodriguez, was telling me about how they have so much size, mm-hmm. but it's kind of the key is defensively is kind of getting to their spots, getting to their mm-hmm. blocks and being quick. So that's something that I think that they're still working on, but you just have so much talent on that team, also including Mira Chopra, Varun mm-hmm. Chopra, the Illinois golfer, former mm-hmm. Uni High golfer of the year,
two times,
yeah. She's a 6'2" freshman hitter. So just so much talent, and they're going to be, most of them are going to be around for both this year and next mm-hmm. year. So I think we'll see that program develop, and they have the talent to make a state type of run. But we'll see how it all comes together.
And we're recording this on Thursday afternoon at Monticello High School. And Anthony, I know you're going to go out to a high school soccer match this evening. Mm-hmm. See Urbana Centennial.
Yeah. Urbana has kind of shown that they're the top team in our area. They kind of like affirmed what we thought. Mm-hmm. Beat both St. Thomas.
They are who we thought they were.
Yes, Dennis Green, right? So they beat St. Thomas More, and then also beat Uni High, who mm-hmm. are kind of our number two and three teams at this point, I would say, in our area. Got a few similar cast of characters to what they had last year.
They seem very balanced.
Very balanced team, yeah, just like they were a year ago. Got Bennett Anderson back. Magnus Parente is mm-hmm. kind of an impressive player there in the midfield, and really good goalkeeper who mm-hmm. Went out for the team for the first time last year as a sophomore, and Artem Burnett. So just, one of those teams that just has talent all over the field. And they always, I've talked to other coaches, they always seem to kind of have a few players that you haven't heard of every year that end up, being star players.
Yeah, they got a great coach too, Randy Blackman, arguably the best in our area, not only for his longevity, but just the sustained success he's had leading the Tigers. It's quite impressive too. Other sports, Anthony, quick as we wrap up, cross country, girls swimming, golf, what's going on with those sports at all?
Yeah, I think cross country is kind of always one of the more interesting ones in our area. Mohammed Seymour, who's once mm-hmm. again, look, all their athletes kind of come in at similar times, and looking at like the number one team in the state, and Logan Hall had a great race early on. I think he ran mm-hmm. Sub 14:50 or something like that. So on the girls' side, similar to what we've seen the last couple of years, I think Jordan Harmon up there is mm-hmm. one of the top athletes, and Unity and St. Joseph Ogden are going to be just fighting it out. I think the entire season for the top team in the state.
Yeah, exactly. Mohammed Seymour boys and girls were down in Charleston last week. Finished respectable. The girls and boys both won it, the team races, and had top five finishes throughout. Olivia Rosenstein from Urbana mm-hmm. won last week down in Charleston as well. So the Tigers and Libby Coulter, another key runner for Urbana. So lots of talented runners in cross country, and that season just going to ratchet up here even more as this, the weeks continue all the way leading up to Detweiler Park and that scene for the state meet in November out in Peoria. Well, that does it for this edition of the News Gazette Prep Sports Podcast. I want to thank Monticello High School for their hospitality. Always enjoy coming over here to Piatt County. Got some great people, great athletes, great coaches to deal with. And I want to thank Coley Welter, Nathan Harmon, Noah Zimmerman for joining us earlier. Sages host St. Thomas More at 7 p.m. on Friday night in their home opening football game. I want to thank Anthony Zillis, Ed Bond, everyone back at the DWS studio that makes us sound so good every week. This has been Sports Editor Matt Daniels. Tune back next week for the next News Gazette Prep Sports Podcast.